I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of The Memo for this Friday, the 24th of March. I have trouble keeping up with the dates these days, Chris.
24th, you got it.
24th. I'm Brad Locke, along with here Chris Kiefer. Derek Russell, not in here at the moment. You'll hear from him later. He could only join us for, he's only able to join us for part of the podcast due to a meeting.
A meeting, yes.
An important meeting, talking about important stuff.
Yeah, sure. Gotta be.
I mean, I go to lots of meetings, and they're all important.
Yeah. Meetings. Meetings are kind of a big deal.
Yeah, they are. They are.
So
although,
they say.
I'll be honest. I'm kind of all meetinged out.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I might have my tongue in my cheek there too.
Yeah. I go to a lot of meetings with this job that I'm in now.
Yeah,
I was covering MSU when I was covering state. No meetings, but I had lots of press conferences. So
sure.
I guess it's kind of a trade off.
Yeah.
At least I don't have to do any transcription after a meeting. I don't even have to take notes if I don't want to. Just keep it all right here in the old noggin.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So how will it stay there?
What?
I said, will it stay there?
Well, you know.
For a little bit.
For a few hours. Minutes.
I'm good. I know I talked about it a little bit yesterday and people are
Wednesday.
Wednesday, but for the sake, we're recording this part Thursday, which is significant to what I'll say, because I'm still kind of on a high from and probably nobody else probably watched it, but Team USA last night won the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
Second night in a row, I stayed up too late to watch it, but it was fun.
I was following the notifications that I get, and I saw they beat Puerto Rico pretty handily.
Yeah, they did.
There. And your boy Brandon Crawford had a big hit.
He had a huge tournament. I'm biased. I'm a big, besides being a big Giants fan, I'm also a big Brandon Crawford. For a while, I used to say I can't have a favorite player on the Giants, but I'm a huge shorts. I've got a lot of reasons. I'm a huge shortstop fan, huge defensive shortstop fan.
Oh, yeah.
I saw him play for UCLA at Ole Miss. I remember his first game for the Giants when he hit a grand slam the day after Buster Posey had gotten an injury, and so I've kind of followed his career. But I'll say, I'm a huge Brandon Crawford fan, and I think he should have been the MVP of the tournament, but
who was?
Yeah, he was good. Marcus Stroman, who was the winning pitcher yesterday, no hitter through six innings.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But I think that was his only win of the tournament. But you know, he came up big in the championship game.
That's true. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to. I'll be honest, I kind of didn't realize it was happening until I started getting notifications.
Yeah.
On my phone about it from my MLB app. It seems like it was something I read though. It's become a kind of a pretty big deal. And a good amount of fan support, it seemed like.
But, attendance was the best they've ever had. This is the fourth one they've had, for people who aren't familiar, because there's very little publicity because of the time of year and everything else. It's major leaguers representing their countries, basically.
Yeah.
And it started in the beginning of March, and the semifinals were with Japan and U.S. and Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico. U.S. and Puerto Rico was last night for the championship. But, yeah, it's fun. I mean, the players aren't quite in their game shape yet. The pitchers aren't able to go as long, and that does take away from it. But I thought the caliber of play was the highest it's been, and they do it every 4 years, and this was the fourth one.
Yeah.
It's also the best USA's ever done. That's kind of why it was kind of fun to watch them. They've gone out in the second round twice and reached the semifinals once, but didn't really have a chance that year either. So to see them kind of win, it was the most cohesive team that they've put on the field. They have a hard time getting players because of spring training sometimes.
Yeah, and some big players like Mike Trout didn't want to play, and Bryce Harper and those. They still have some big names.
They had big names, and I think it was a team that blended together well also.
Which is what's more important, really.
Right.
And baseball season is just around the corner, so I'm excited about that. I've already got my subscription set up for MLB.TV. I watch the Cardinals. And it starts April 2nd, I think.
It does, yep.
The day between the Final Four games. The Final Four is the first and the third.
Okay.
And I think the season
begins. It's that Sunday.
Sunday the 2nd. That's next Sunday, not this, but next. So, anyway, that's...
Probably,
I'm pumped.
Yeah,
And the weather's finally feeling like baseball weather.
Some days.
Well,
it's kind of been up and down. It's like one day
not so much
warm,
Wednesday.
One day it's cool.
Not so much Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be, and then it's going to rain like tomorrow all day. Thunderstorms. Great.
Saturday.
Super.
Yeah, right.
I hate rain, by the way.
Especially on a Saturday when you're off and have a chance to get stuff done. I need to get the grass cut.
And I finally got my grass cut after my lawnmower broke and got fixed, and then it broke again after I got front yard done. Initially, I threw a belt, and so it wouldn't go anywhere, and the blades wouldn't turn. Started in on the backyard, and now the blades won't turn. It still goes in gear. Put it in gear, and it'll go. Just one cut. I don't know.
And the belt? It's not the belt anymore.
It looks like it's... I can't see the problem. Hmm. Of course, I'm no mechanic.
You had the worst luck.
I had to have my dad fix it.
Stuff breaking.
The first time. I have to call up the old man again, see if he can figure it out for me. So what we got on the show today is the entertainment edition of the memo. We've got, of course, Jenna Parsons, entertainment and food. Jenna Parsons comes on to talk about the food section this week. Her cook of the week, David Carlisle Jr., I can attest to how good of a cook he is. He goes to church with me, and every once in a while he'll make hamburgers for Wednesday night, and they are delicious.
Her story mentioned that. I wanted to ask you about that. Yeah.
And they've got three kids, and their oldest is just one of the most adorable kids you'll ever meet. And it's just one of those kids that's like always smiling and happy. I think she's probably like 6 or 7, but we taught her class 1 year when she was like 3 or 4 on Wednesday night. And just I looked forward going to teach the classes because she was in it. Mm-hmm. It's just like a big ball of fun. But yeah, Carlisle's they're good people.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. But
good cook, apparently.
That too. And also we've got, of course, Scott Morris to come on and review Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
And then Derek, as I said, will be on here later, and he'll actually talk with Jenna, and he'll go over the scene section from Thursday's paper and tell us what's going on in the local entertainment scene. So that's your show for this Friday here on The Memo. I guess let's jump into it.
Let's do it.
Jenna joining us on this Friday to discuss her food section. Hi, Jenna.
Hello, Derek.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Good. Thank you. Thank you for coming in. We appreciate you. Always. Even if you don't bring food, we appreciate you.
Happy to be here.
I'm glad, even though this was a wire story, I'm glad you did not bring spicy tater tot breakfast muffins, because that just, I don't know if that sounds good or not.
Well, it does to me.
Does it?
Yeah.
It just sounds like too much.
Spicy sounds good to me.
Right. I do like spicy. Don't get me wrong. I'll put a jalapeno on just about anything. But
you had me at spicy.
That just has a lot going on with that. But anyway, let's talk about your column. You got up wanting to make something fun a few Sundays ago.
Yes, I wanted to make something that was good and mm-hmm. something new. So I picked up, Thomas Keller is, I believe, the only American chef that has two restaurants that each have 3 Michelin stars. I mean, he's like the top of the game. In fact, has just redone the French Laundry restaurant that's in Napa, I believe, in California. But anyway, he has a cookbook called The French Laundry that Charlie gave me for Christmas a couple of years ago. And I pulled it out and thought I would make something très chic.
Mm-hmm.
And I started looking at these recipes that had 20 ingredients and 15 steps. And I put that book back on the shelf.
Why spend a whole Sunday doing that?
So I picked up one rustic Italian that was sent to me 4 or 5 years ago that I had never cooked anything out of. And I started looking through it, and everything looked good. And I settled on a soup that had 4 ingredients. And I thought it was chicken broth and little pasta and spinach and Parmigiano Reggiano cheese. And I thought, you know, this is going to be a disaster, but I'll give it a shot. And I am telling you, it is one of the best soups I have ever had.
Wow.
Yes.
Do you find it bad to look through cookbooks when you're hungry?
Yes, it's like going to the grocery store when you're hungry.
Do not go to the grocery store when you're hungry. That's the worst possible thing you can do.
Yes.
You realize you spent $200, and I'm like, what did I spend? It's just junk food. I didn't
exactly,
do anything.
Exactly.
I bought 30 packs of pecan wheels. That's all I did there. Pronounce the name of the pasta.
It's Fideo.
Fideo.
I had never heard of this before.
Okay,
until
good. I feel bad for me either then.
A cook of the week, April Clark. You remember J.B. Clark that used to work here? His wife was a cook of the week last year, and she told me about it, and it's just really, it's like angel hair pasta, you know, that thin, thin, thin pasta, and it's just broken up into 1-inch pieces. So it's already broken up for you, But I found it at Kroger. I found it at Walmart.
So it's just angel hair that somebody shook the box really hard.
Exactly. Okay. So if you almost any grocery store, every Dollar General just about is going to have angel hair if you can't find the Vidéo. But this soup was so good and so rich. And I think if you want, we used it as a appetizer. Mm-hmm. But I think if you added chicken to it,
mm-hmm. it could be just the broth.
Right. Or, it could be definitely a main meal. And I also think maybe just a little spritz of fresh lemon juice might have brightened it a bit. So I think I'll do that next time as well. But I mean, really, you can just make the soup and not change a thing.
Just
and
call
it's wonderful.
Me next time. I'll bring the lemons.
Okay.
In a bowl if I need to.
Actually, I should make this and bring it in here if y'all would eat it for breakfast.
I have no issue with that whatsoever.
Does Brad have a problem with spinach? I don't remember. No, Brad likes spinach.
I can't keep up with what Brad likes and doesn't like.
I keep up with what you like and don't like. Thank you.
But you're right next to me. We talk more often than you do just when we're in here.
Right.
Your cook of the week this week is Southzilla Man, who picked up a little bit on his own how to cook. David Carlisle.
He did. David Carlisle Jr. I knew his dad. I didn't realize this was his son. David Sr.'s stepson, Andrew, mm-hmm. and both of my children ran cross country together at Tupelo High School. So we already had a little bit of a connection when I went to meet with David Jr. last week. But yes, he was at school at Ole Miss, and his roommate didn't cook, and his roommate's girlfriend didn't cook, and David's girlfriend, now his wife, didn't cook. So by default,
what are you going to do?
David learned to cook.
There you go. What did he make for you?
He made a lasagna that has about 8 pounds of cheese in it. So I did not try any of it, but it looked delicious. And he also made a Greek bread mm-hmm. where he mixed up, I don't remember all the ingredients, but olives and mayonnaise and
I was looking at this recipe. It was heavy.
Yeah. Well, Thomas Wells was the photographer, and Thomas was like, oh, man, look at this bread. Thomas was like circling the bread. and he also made, and we didn't take a picture
of it. Did he steal the bread?
No, Thomas did not steal the bread. He makes Chex Mix, and he makes such a huge quantity that he has to do it in a turkey roaster.
Oh, wow.
And then, and he sent me home with a little bag of that, and I did try some of that, and it was excellent. But what's not excellent when it's got 2 pounds of cashews in it?
That'll do it.
His wife makes it and takes it. She's a school teacher. Mm-hmm. And so she takes it at Christmas, and that's what they give as little Christmas gifts is Chex Mix and sourdough bread.
There you go. All right, Jenna. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, be sure to look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. We've got Prep Rally, high school sports podcast with Blake Morgan, Gene Phelps, and yours truly. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. So check out this week's episode. We talked about just about everything. We talked a little bit about basketball, even though it's over. But we also got caught up on baseball and softball. They're in full swing. Get it?
Nice. I see what you did there.
Yeah, it's pretty good. No, it's pretty bad. We also talked a little bit of track and field. We even talked some football. We got a couple of Tupelo kids that are drawing a lot of interest from Division I football schools. So check that out. And also check out Double Coverage. It's an Ole Miss and Mississippi State sports podcast with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. New episodes coming to you each Thursday or Friday sometimes, depending on the guy's schedule. And they'll provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com, among other things that they talk about. Of course, the MSU women in the Sweet 16 again. Logan is in Oklahoma City to cover their game against Washington, which is, I believe, tonight or sometime today.
Yeah.
Yes, tonight at 6 o'clock our time out there in Oklahoma City. And I know you can watch it on ESPN2. There you go. Or the Watch ESPN app. So the Bulldogs are trying to get past this is the farthest they've gotten, and they've done it 2 years in a row now, the Sweet 16, and they've got a really good squad there with
Big Schaefer. Yeah, they sure do.
And they have a chance, honestly. Washington's a very good team now, but if they can get past Washington, they can certainly have a chance to get to the Final Four, maybe even the championship game, although I think it's the Final Four is where they would meet UConn.
Which is
pretty much a given that they're going to win. I mean, they've won 100 and something straight games.
Yeah.
I don't see them not winning it. But, you know, All it takes is one game.
Yeah, right. You never know. Tulane almost beat them during the season.
That's a good point.
Which,
they're not they're not completely invulnerable there. So, yeah, MECU Women in Action. Again, you can check out the guys talking about it on the Double Coverage podcast.
We also want to remind you to wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a five-minute video. Shows are posted every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them free at any time at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Stay informed on the latest happenings in your community in an easily digestible format.
So welcome, movie reviewer extraordinaire M. Scott Morris, into the program.
I like the extraordinaire part.
Like that title? You should use that.
It's more polite in here when your cohort is missing. Extraordinaire, that's fantastic. Let's keep that up.
Should use that in your Twitter bio.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I'm going to make this podcast more extraordinaire.
This week's movie you're reviewing, Scott, Beauty and the Beast, which...
It's a tale as old as time.
It is.
A song as old as rhyme. In case you weren't... No.
Don't start singing, please.
I'm not going to sing. Hey, I wasn't the biggest fan of the Disney original.
That's my wife's favorite Disney movie ever. And I like it. It's fine.
I mean, I thought it was fine. But my memories of it were like, I was like, oh, okay, they're going to do Beauty and the Beast.
Well, I was in high school at the time, so I was like a dude and like, musical, lame.
Yeah, I was
like... No, I grew up and appreciated it.
Yeah. I hadn't really seen it since then. And so I was surprised how much I liked this movie.
Yeah. I was kind of just afraid that just rebooting it as a live version might be like, well, I mean, you had a pretty good thing with the original. You might mess it up.
Yeah, they took such care with it. I mean, the town where she lives and the castle. I mean, I would love to go to both places. So I would imagine Disney World is going to have a Belle castle built pretty darn soon.
Cha-ching.
Exactly. Very wonderfully rendered worlds. And you know, the characters from the original, the clock and the candelabra, you know, they work so well now because CGI is so good.
Oh, yeah, it is.
And then in addition to that, the costuming was wonderful. So, the way everyone was dressed, it just felt like you're in a fairy tale come to life.
Yeah.
And also the performances. Emma Watson plays Belle, and a guy named Dan Stevens plays the Beast. But you've also got Josh Gad, Kevin Klein, Emma Thompson, Ewan McGregor, Ian McKellen.
It's a really good cast.
Stanley Tucci and Audrey McDonald, just people who are talent, who were able to funnel their talent through their characters and add even a small part becomes a bigger part of the whole.
Right, right. And you mentioned the CGI and the Dan Stevens as the Beast. I mean, obviously that's a CGI face. We're not in the day anymore of making huge.
Well, they still
masks,
do, but I'm pretty sure this was CGI because of the way it worked, the expressions he did. And also, not even the face, just the whole body was CGI'd because of he had kind of a weird type of animal-like hoof situation going on down. The angles were not really human, the way he walked and stuff.
Right, right, right.
I read something about the amount of time. It took him like a year or something to design all the hairs on his face for... The CGI.
Yeah, and apparently...
Thousands of hairs or something.
Just a tricky, tricky problem that they thought might sink the film, or at least some reports and entertainment magazines back like six or 8 months ago were saying that they were just having a difficult time getting this right.
Hmm.
And so I think they got it done well. Others aren't quite as in love with this as I am. My family, for one, for three. I was entranced by it. I was caught up in it going, wow, I'm surprised how much I'm liking this. I mean, this is good.
Which is really a testament since we all know how it goes and how it ends.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's a tale as old as time. We all know it.
As a fairy tale and as you know it as the previous movie.
Right.
But I think that's where each little detail comes into play and the performances again come into play.
Yeah.
You know how it's going to turn out, you know that. And even so, one of my family members, I won't name who, Michaela, my wife, was crying at one point or got teary-eyed at one point. You kind of know what's going to happen, but as it's happening, you care for these characters and they go through hard times and you're there with them.
Yeah.
Shoot, man, I give it an A. It's Not everybody agrees with that, but Leslie Chris here in the office does, and Dennis Sid here in the office does.
And we're journalists, so that makes us experts on everything.
That's right. Well, we are experts on everything.
Yeah, you're an expert on movies, at least.
I tell you what, well, let's just say extraordinary, and we'll just leave it at that, and then I'll take the compliment and move on, and I'll keep my my self-conscious, oh, what is he saying thoughts to myself.
I'm curious about your thoughts on Emma Watson. Of course, she's most well-known for the Harry Potter series. She's going to be identified with that for pretty much for the rest of her life, but I'm sure, you know, this movie maybe is something that allowed people to look at her as something different, something more than just that, than just Hermione Granger.
So she was in a movie called Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
So it was an independent kind of low-key story based upon a young adult novel that has quite a following.
Yeah.
And she disappeared into that, I thought.
Okay.
And so I was really impressed with the way she did that. She did an American accent, I guess going to Brown and getting her university, getting her degree there.
Yeah.
She learned how to use an American accent. I thought at one time during the Be Our Guest segment, when all these things were happening in front of her, which aren't really happening in front of her, I thought, who better than Emma Watson, who went through like all those movies of training to react to things that aren't there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Her entire childhood was about reacting to things that weren't there.
Yeah.
So as these delightful little things happened to her in front of her, I thought, well, she's just perfect for this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it's like seeing... I thought she fit in just fine and was Belle. I mean, but then also, I'm pulling for her because we're fans of the Harry Potter movies.
Because
there might be a little extra bit of like, all right, Emma, let's see what you got. Come on, girl. You know, so
yeah.
I wasn't sitting there trying to critique anything. I was
sure.
More in the realm of pulling for her because she's my old buddy who I watched grow up, and I wanted to do well. Doggone it.
Yeah, exactly. You pull for him. You pull for her and Daniel Radcliffe and Rupert Grint, all three of them. I'm kind of curious about how those careers for them will go. I know Daniel Radcliffe has gotten some praise for some work he's done. Honestly, I have no idea what Rupert Grint has done lately.
TV, apparently, in England.
Okay. I'll
tell you what, though. Dan Stevens, who plays the Beast,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know it was him, but I know him. Apparently, some people might know him from Downton Abbey, but I know him from a series on FX right now called Legion that I've been watching.
I've heard of it. I haven't seen that one yet. I heard a lot of good things.
Well, it's weird,
yeah.
But because he's so likable in it, he's one of the reasons that you kind of that I've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
He kind of provide we're seeing things. He's sure. Our hero in it, and so he's got this interesting
right.
Way of a. But I didn't know it was him as the Beast until at the very end. I said, "Hey, that's that guy."
Yeah.
And I had no idea what his name was.
It's that guy in that thing.
Yeah, it's that guy. That's that guy we watch. What's his name? David. That's right. That's him.
Sure.
But.
Well, good stuff. Y'all can find Scott's review in the Thursday scene section, also at djournal.com. Scott, appreciate your time, man.
Hey, you know what? You call me extraordinaire, and I'll be here on time next week as well.
Good. Good deal. Thank you, sir. Be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live Monday afternoons around 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day.
All right, so now it's time to look ahead to the weekend entertainment, and we've got Derek here with us. Tell us what we got going on this weekend.
Always plenty of things to do. I think your highlight of the weekend is going to be the North Mississippi Symphony Orchestra's stage performance of Annie Get Your Gun at the Tupelo High School Performing Arts Center on Saturday at 7:30 p.m. They do one of these a year. They're not full dramatic performances, but they do have actors on stage singing along and acting out some scenes from famous musicals while the orchestra plays. They've done My Fair Lady in the past. This year, of course, Annie Get Your Gun, like I said. So that's a big deal. 7:30 p.m. Saturday. I said the Performing Arts Center, but it's actually the Civic Auditorium.
The Civic Auditorium at Tupelo Middle School.
Tupelo Middle School, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Looking at your story, I mean, it's that, I guess, Broadway musicals, you've got a kind of maybe people almost take for granted that the music is a big part of it, and that's kind of what this is about, right? Like you said, they'll have some acting, and but they won't have the big set pieces, and the focus is really going to be on the music with the actors just up there to kind of move the thing along, correct?
Right, yeah. They obviously, a lot goes into this with singers going along with an orchestra performing and only doing this on two rehearsals because that's the only time the symphony gets together right before a Saturday concert. They rehearsed Friday night and Saturday afternoon. So
wow,
that's a big deal. At the Tupelo High School Performing Arts Center is Tupelo Ballet's production of Snow White, and I was getting the two venues confused. Yeah. That's at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Of course, that is a ballet. And you can call 844-1928 for tickets to that. Also, Justin Moore, country musician, will be at the Bancorp South Arena on Saturday at 7 p.m. And this weekend is also Dancing with the King. It's the fourth annual Dancing with the King weekend, brought to you by the Tupelo Elvis Presley Fan Club and the Tupelo Dance Studio and Tupelo Convention Visitors Bureau and about 70 other organizations that culminate to put this event together, which features a weekend of dancing to Elvis music. Whether you're an amateur or professional, you can take part in this. It's a fundraiser for dance scholarships for students, so that all goes to a good cause.
Derek, how does it work? Not having gone to the event before, I mean, is it a competition? Is it just
portions of it are
lessons?
There's lessons, there's workshops. Portions of it are competition. It's a little bit of everything. So yeah, it just depends on what your dancing level is. There's stuff for amateurs just to dance, and of course, if you're at the professional level, there's ballroom competition on Saturday night. So.
Sure, I know your story mentioned they're trying to get younger dancers to participate also, or encouraging them is kind of a way to
That's definitely, and that obviously getting exposed is a good way to get you scholarships. So. Sure.
Great.
That's what's going on this weekend.
All right. Thank you much.
Thanks.
Okay, that's it. We're done.
All right.
Bye.
See you later.
Why are you still here? Go home. I think I've done that before, the Ferris Bueller thing. I think that was the first movie I saw where I saw a post-credits scene.
Oh, Easter egg?
Before Marvel made it kind of a thing that you expect. I mean, other movies have done it, obviously.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure it was done before that. I just had that thought just now. So I don't remember a movie before that I saw where they... Yeah, maybe I did. I don't know.
I can't remember.
It's a more memorable one, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Great movie.
Doesn't Who Framed Roger Rabbit have one of this?
I don't know. Maybe. That movie was just okay. I didn't care for it that much.
We had a family friend who just had a copy of it, and whenever we'd go over there for dinner, with my parents, while they were eating whatever, they put it on for us, and that's kind of when we would watch it. But
yeah,
anyway.
You know, speaking of movies, you know, running theme on this show is movies I haven't seen that I should have seen by now. Well, I'm not the only one in the office. Okay, turns out Emma Kent has a gaping hole in her movie watching experience as well. Hasn't seen Tombstone. I quoted Tombstone at her the other day, and she was like, "What was that? What's that about?"
I think most people except Derek have gaping holes in their
movie. Well, that's true. Compared to him,
certainly compared to him,
he wrecks the
anyway,
curve
because he's got
he only did,
all errors too. You know,
like and all he did he all he did growing up was watch movies and TV.
Yeah.
He did nothing else. I don't think. You know, Lauren Wood hasn't seen Tombstone either.
Really?
Last I checked.
You know, I'm a big Western fan.
Me too. Yeah.
I've seen parts of Tombstone. I'm not sure that I've seen the whole thing.
Okay, so we just need to have a Tombstone watching party.
Sounds like it.
We need to have a Daily Journal newsroom Tombstone watching party at my house at some point in the near future when, you know, all my kids are healthy. got another sick one with strep, so I hope I don't get it. Yeah, she hasn't. Emma has not seen that. She's not seen the Ace Ventura movies. Classics. I'm sure everyone agrees those are classics. That is, though. That's Jim Carrey in his purest form. He's kind of gotten away from that, save the Dumb and Dumber sequel. But, it's just, you know, she's young.
Yeah.
I'm not, so I really have no excuse.
Yeah, because, like, when I worked with John Davis at the Oxford Eagle, who is... what is he? Maybe 8 years older than me or something.
Yeah,
10
he's
years
he's
older than me. Anyway,
he's about mid 40s.
Yeah, he would always, so maybe 10 years older. But anyway, he would always get on to me about movies I hadn't seen that he saw growing up. So it's just it's a generational thing, too.
It is. Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you all for tuning in. You can find us a variety of ways, of course. Stream this show online, memo.djournal.com. You can find us in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, Google Play. And just hit the subscribe button. You'll get notified when new episodes drop. Or you can also get notified via Twitter. We're on there at DJournalMemo. So give us a follow.
Yeah. And be sure to go back and listen to Wednesday's episode also, which is, again, our newsier show. This one is more of an entertainment theme. But On Wednesday, we talked with Emma Kent about school improvement efforts at Shannon and Plantersville Middle Schools. Bobby Harrison and Caleb Bedillion talked about the politics behind the proposed construction of the Lee County of a new jail in Lee County. Michaela Morris talked about the Delta Doctors Program, which is a program that receives federal funds and places foreign-born, U.S.-trained doctors in needed rural communities. And it's one of the programs that was cut by the proposed budget by President Trump. And then Lauren Wood talked about her photo essay on a horse show in Starkville. So check it out.
All right, indeed. And we'll be back next Wednesday with a new episode of The Memo.
We'll see you then.
And Derek will probably be here.
Probably.
Okay. All right, y'all have a great weekend.
See ya.